Well, good morning. Just excited to be in fellowship with our brothers from Dallas, from Atlanta, from Miami, Florida, actually just a little bit north of Miami, a place called Broward County. And a little later on, we're going to have some disciples from Los Angeles encourage our souls at the end of the service. You know, one of the great things about being able to worship online has been this incredible ability to be in fellowship with people literally all across the world. You know, if you're joining us for the first time, or maybe even for the disciples who are joining us here today from Halifax and from Ottawa, what we do, there's a library of songs of disciples from all across the world. We are in fellowship with over 700 churches all across the world. That is part of our sisterhood, if you would, our brotherhood. And then we choose songs from week to week from these congregations. And so it's great to sing with them. It's great to worship with them this morning. Well, we are very, very excited to be able to be, of course, in connection with you this morning from the disciples in Halifax. I trust that you're encouraged, you're excited, that all the snow has melted. We had snow here earlier this week, but that's a different story for another time. So great to see Sean and Joyce welcome us this morning all the way from Pittsburgh. Sean actually will be preaching in Pittsburgh. A little bit of update there. We're so excited that the McDonnells are going to be moving to Halifax to encourage and shepherd and lead the congregation there. And we're just really thrilled that providentially, God worked it out, and we're thankful for the Udalls for the work that they have done there for over 6 years, shepherding and leading the congregation. They have gone on a self-imposed sabbatical for an indeterminate amount of time, and then Halifax was looking for a shepherding couple to lead them, and Sean and Joyce really have taken on that mantle. They sold their home in Pittsburgh. Not only were they selling their home, they've already sold their home. They had one showing on Saturday, one day of showing, and that's all done. We're very, very excited to be in partnership with all the Eastern Canadian family of churches, and just really, really thrilling time. Even in this midst of what could be viewed as a challenging time. You know, in India, with the COVID cases, they've been about just under 400,000 a day, with about just over 3,500 a day people dying. And they're running out of oxygen. Really some significant cases there in Turkey. And, here in Ontario, we are in a lockdown. I believe Nova Scotia also is in a lockdown. Their lockdown is a little shorter than ours and in Ontario. But the idea is that it's a challenging time. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, it's awesome to worship a great God who holds us in this time and who encourages us with his word. And prayerfully this morning, you'll be encouraged and you'll be inspired as we look at Jesus. One of the things, if you've not noticed or you're just visiting with us, we have been doing a series on taken from Philippians 3 that says, you know, when Paul writes and he says, I want to know Christ. So much so that he wanted to share even in his sufferings to become like him in his death. But he wanted to know Christ. And what we have done, we have looked at a number of encounters that Jesus has had with people and to get a glimpse of who Jesus is, what he's like, what he elevates, what he lauds. What are the things that stands out to him? What are some of his quote-unquote idiosyncrasies? And so in that way, we get to know who Jesus is even better as Paul's quest was to know him. And I am super excited about looking at another encounter. And it comes from John chapter 1. And in this encounter, we see a phrase where Jesus issues a phrase that says, rather, earlier he says, come and see, but the phrase was coined, come and see. And so we'll examine John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. We'll refer to some other scriptures as well, and we will illuminate what this idea of to come and see. Even that whole idea of come and see, that it is an invitation and it's a promise. It's an invitation to come and it's a promise that you will see. You know, that's what Zacchaeus wanted to do last week when we looked at him. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Jesus invited himself to his place. And we will see again this idea of an invitation and then a fulfilled promise of seeing who Jesus is. And seeing who Jesus is, not just meeting him, but seeing who Jesus is, brings about a transformation and a incredible reordering of priorities in one's life. And so we pick it up in John chapter 1, verse 43, and it says this: the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Well, we'll keep the scripture up there, but I'll share a little bit what happened the previous day. What happened the previous day is that we see that there were two people who met Jesus and they were following him. And he said to them, what do you want? They said, we want to know where you're staying. We want to know more about you because we've heard about you from John the Baptist. And we have heard rumors about you are who you are, but I want to know who you are. And then Jesus said to them, come and you will see. And so this is what happened the previous day. We can gather from some little bit of forensic, if you would, that was Andrew, because it says that clearly. And I think if we look at the scriptures, we realize that was John. So the first two guys that John reveals in his book that met Jesus and asked him the question, who he is and where is he staying? And then later on, they spent the entire day with him. And he issues this call to come and see. You know, we're going to see that not only this phrase that is mentioned to Andrew and John, and later on, Philip says the same thing to Nathanael, come and see. Not only was this invitation and this promise was issued to these men, I believe John wanted us to issue and receive that invitation even in our own lives. He wants the reader from the book of John to have this invitation to come and see who Jesus is. And that's what John tries to reveal. And that's what John does reveal. He says, come and examine the scriptures. Come and examine what I'm going to be writing. And you will come to faith. You will come and you will see who this Jesus is. And so we pick it up again in verse 44. It speaks, it illuminates a little further this encounter. And so we find that it says that Jesus finds Philip and he says to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Now, this is really interesting. John has already revealed a number of things and titles that Jesus has been called. Earlier in, and this is, we're still in the first chapter. There are 21 chapters in the book of John. We're still in the first chapter. And he has been called the Lamb of God. He's been called the one who baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is people's confession or profession of who he is. He's been called the Son of God. He's already been called Rabbi. And John is issuing this invitation as the invitation was issued to him and now to Philip, these titles. And we see here some more titles, some more that were given to Jesus. The title of the fact that he is the Son of Man. He's the one that Moses wrote about in the law. And this illumination, this understanding of who this Jesus is, and the invitation to come and to realize, not just to meet Jesus, but rather to see Jesus. And so, interesting what Philip says. Philip says, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. Earlier, John addresses, let's go back there. It says, finding Philip. John addresses Philip's encounter with Jesus as Jesus finding Philip. Philip, when he was talking to Nathanael, says he found Jesus. It was interesting, his perspective. And maybe there's a little bit of both in that, right? In order for you to find someone, you had to have been looking. And what we talked about last week, when it says that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Jesus went and he found John and Andrew. And then he went and he found Philip. I don't know about you. There is something exciting, encouraging, and honestly a little bit frightening to know that Jesus was looking for someone like me. That he was looking for someone like you. That Jesus is constantly seeking. He's constantly searching. He's constantly finding. He's looking for people to issue this invitation. And maybe he is issuing this invitation to you this morning to come and to see. Now, it's interesting that we're going to see something here that is something of a methodology, if you would, in the idea of how Jesus and his disciples spread word about him. It's interesting. He found Andrew and John. Andrew finds his brother, Peter. And now Philip was found by Jesus, and he introduces Nathanael. You know, it is the method to which Jesus wants us to adopt, to share, to invite people, and God's going to do the rest. That's what Philip says. Because we're going to see this encounter. It's a very interesting encounter. Very rarely do people respond in crowds. There may be crowd gathering, but the response to follow Jesus is often one man helping another man, is one disciple who makes one disciple who helps another disciple. Yes, in Acts chapter 2, we see 3,000 people responding. But oftentimes, most of the times with crowds and with the encounters after that in the book of Acts is people meeting one other person who met another person to tell them about what God has done in their lives. That's the whole idea here. There is a glimpse that you might catch of Jesus. That's my responsibility. That's one of my significant responsibility is to not only having been issued the invitation to come, but to illuminate who this Jesus is. And so that you can see what indeed he's like. And so Philip has a very interesting response in verse 46. Nathanael, rather, had a very interesting response in verse 46. It says, Nazareth, when he was told about the fact that Jesus was from Nazareth. Well, of course, we know that that's where Joseph was living, and eventually that's where they ended up living, but Jesus was actually from, he was born in Bethlehem, right? And so the idea is, it's like me today, I will describe myself, I am from Ottawa. I mean, I wasn't born in Ottawa, but I am from Ottawa. It's where I am now. And so we see Nathanael's response, Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, come and see. Here is this invitation and this promise again, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now it's interesting. Nathanael and his response to this invitation, his response to the fact that Philip has found the one whom Moses wrote about, the one whom the prophets talked about. Now, if you remember, one of the things that the people of Israel were looking for was not necessarily a Messiah who would come and to die on a cross for their sins. They were looking for a Messiah who would come and rescue them from the Romans, rescue them from the oppression that they were feeling from the Romans, the high taxation, the inability to do ultimately and worship in a way that they wanted to worship. And so they were looking for a revolutionary. And Nathanael says, Nazareth? Are you talking about someone who is going to overthrow the Romans? Someone from a little tiny, dinky little town of Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? You know, I don't know. Maybe Nathanael had a little bit of uppity-ness about him. Maybe there was a little bit of rivalry between where he's from, Bethsaida, and Nazareth. You know, whenever the Leafs, I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan, and the Canadians or the Ottawa play Toronto, I send a note to my friends, depend, of course, if they win. If they're winning, then I send, you know, a little bit of teasing note to the fact that the Leafs won. And of course, when the Leafs lose, I don't say anything, right? But they generally say something. There's a little bit of rivalry there. But this was more than just a fun thing. It seems like he was really, really perturbed that Philip would even suggest that the one who was written about, the one who was talked about, was going to come from this small town. He was skeptical. He had questions. He could not reconcile in his mind that what was talked about in the prophets and Moses could come from Nathanael. it's interesting what Nathaniel does and how he circumvents this historical and this, let's go and study the Old Testament if this could actually be the case. And Philip issues a very simple invitation and promise. He says, come and see. You know, oftentimes there is, sometimes we get into some complex arguments with people. And I believe for truth seekers, absolutely we need to address and with Christian apologetics, help people to understand. But ultimately, finding Jesus is about one desire to look for him. And as Jesus promises, he is also looking. And the onus is not so much on our ability to explain the scriptures, even though we should really work on our skills to explain why we believe what we believe. But the onus ultimately is on us issuing an invitation to come and see who Jesus is. You know, in my lifetime of walking as a disciple, this is my 35th year now, walking as a disciple. I've met people from a myriad of backgrounds with a lot of complexities in their lives. Some with mental illness, some with complex marital problems, sometimes some people involved in polygamy, sometimes some people murdering someone, sometimes someone about to go to jail, sometimes raising of some children problem, that their children are going through some difficulties. Maybe sometimes it's a blended family. I mean, a plethora of things. And I absolutely think we ought to address those issues for sure. But the ultimate invitation is for people to come and see and delve and read and find out who Jesus is. And he says, I am going to fulfill this promise, you will see who I am. You're not only going to meet me, but you're going to see who I am. And that's what happened with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus climbed that tree and then he saw Jesus. And he saw Jesus more than just a guy who was eloquent in preaching. And he received salvation that very time when he told him about his life. And when he revealed to him what was going on in his life. And the same thing happened here with Nathanael. And I love what Jesus did with Nathanael. Here is Nathanael finding fault, looking for problems, seeing only the issues that is at hand. And Jesus looks at him, not with a, what is your problem, Nathanael? Like, what's going on with you, man? Did you have some issues growing up? Did you not have a good day at work? But he said to him, and he gives him a compliment. He saw the good in him. And he says, here's truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, he's not saying that Nathanael was sinless. The idea was what you see in Nathanael is what you get. There was not a false pretense. He didn't have a life, a double life, that he was two-faced, that when he was with someone, he pretended to be something. And when he was with another person, he pretended to be another person. And Jesus saw the positivity in that. He saw, man, Nathanael, what you see is what you get. And here was a guy that was coming with skepticism, that was coming with unbelief, that was coming with a little bit of edge. And Jesus saw the good in him. Jesus saw something other, something deeper. You know, sometimes when I look at people with the human eye, I can see all the issues why they couldn't change their lives. I could see all the issues in their problems in their lives. I could see all the reasons why this would be a major hurdle for them to become Christians. I don't know about you, but sometimes I see that more with my family. Sometimes my brothers and sisters or my parents or if your children are in such a situation, it's like, hey, I can't see that this situation is so complex. And yet Jesus looks at Nathanael, this skeptic, perhaps had some prejudice in his life. And he looked and he saw what other people did not see. I don't know if Philip's buddy here, Nathanael, because he realizes he had so many issues. He was one of those argumentative guys. And he was always one of those guys who was always had an issue. And maybe he said, hey, just like how Jesus straightened me, maybe that's what he was trying to do. I don't know if he saw in Nathanael what Jesus saw in Nathanael. But ultimately, isn't it great to know that when Jesus looks at us, sometimes it's not even what we see of ourselves. A lot of times, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we think about ourselves, we think about our inadequacies. We think about how I'm not educated enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not old enough. I don't have enough muscles. I have too much muscles. I have too much weight. I don't have enough weight. I'm not the right skin color. I don't have the right job. And there's a plethora of things in our lives that we concoct in our mind. Why we can't have a relationship with Jesus. And what Jesus does with Nathanael here is what he does with all of us. And that's what John wants us to understand. This idea and this invitation that is issued, it says, if you were to accept this invitation to come, you will see. You will see who he is. And what he does with Nathanael is quite remarkable. He says, Nathanael says in verse 48, how do you know me? Nathanael asked. You know, Nathanael wondered, yes, I'm this outspoken. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. How do you know me? I don't think, a lot of times, I don't think Nathanael was saying, hey, yeah, I'm this really great person. No, I think he was saying, I've never met you before. How do you know me? How do you know I'm like this? How could you read me so well? Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And so when he accepted the invitation, Jesus met him where he was at, and he unveiled himself in a way that brought about a confession from Nathanael that adds to the list of titles that John wants us to understand, that he is not only the Lamb of God, the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit, he's the Son of God, but he's now another title given, Rabbi, the King of Israel, the Son of God. This confession, after seeing who Jesus is and how God has worked in their life just in the short order. Here's this guy who absolutely was convinced nothing good can come from Nazareth to this proclamation of who Jesus is and his ability to change someone's life. Jesus. Was so positive towards Nathanael You know, as they say, you can draw bees more with honey than you can with vinegar. You know, especially as those who are disciples, who view the world no longer work from a worldly point of view, but from Christ's point of view, that we see in people what God sees in them and the positivity. You know, one of the challenges for Christians, and honestly, when I was a younger Christian, this was one of the challenges for me. In the name of being a man of conviction, sometimes you can hide under that and you can just point out what are the shortcomings of other people, or we may not even say it, but we may feel it. And there is this holier than thou, I am better than you. And it's one of the biggest issues today that people have with Christians. It's not from nowhere. It's well-founded. Can you imagine if Jesus treated us because we are adulterers and liars and deceitful and selfish and impure and immoral and jealous and envious and murderers? I mean, you just name it. If that's how God identifies us, what would he want to do with us? And yet he goes around and he looks for people, even people like Nathaniel, who was ornery, who was perhaps even prejudicial, who was just contentious, who was a skeptic. And he looked at him and he says, let me throw some honey to this guy and let me draw him. And that's why I am concerned and worried about Christianity today. This idea of luring people with entertainment, of luring people with how well-oiled of a machine we are. And I think we we need to be entertaining, not entertainment. And we need to be as well polished and doing everything well as best as we can. But when that becomes the focus, when we draw people to that, and all the smoke screen and all the things that's going on, and when that doesn't still happen, and we wonder why people leave. Because maybe what we invited them to was a show. Was not to Christ. And that's what one of the biggest challenges I have as someone who purports to be someone who preaches the word is to point people to the Christ and to God and to say, this is who he is. This is what he's all about. This is who Jesus is. And Jesus in this interaction and encounter with Nathaniel and these first five disciples in Andrew and John and Peter and Philip, and now Nathaniel, did he issue this invitation? And ultimately, this call initially, when he says, follow me, for some of them, literally at this point in time, was to physically follow him. And John writes and he says, I want you to take up this invitation and examine who this Christ is. Spend some time with who this Christ is. You will see he's the Lamb of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Rabbi. He's the one who baptizes with the Spirit. He is the King of Israel. And then look what he says in verse 50. Jesus said, you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Here's another title that Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. And so John, the writer, is issuing this invitation as this encounter with Philip and with Andrew and with these guys and now with Nathaniel, and it illuminates who this Christ is. That God is searching like he did and he found Philip. And then he has an encounter with Nathanael, and he says, man, I see what is in you. And what I see is a man who is authentic and real and does not live a double-faced life, and he's not a chameleon. And we can do something with that. How do you see yourself this morning? Do you see the way that God sees you? Do you see this Jesus that is talked about in the scriptures? Where are you at in that journey? You know, one of the things in our community of faith, both in Halifax and in Ottawa, we have people who are part of our congregation who are in different places in that journey. There's some people who the invitation has been issued. And they have met Jesus, but they haven't seen him yet. In other words, they have not been able yet to proclaim. These guys set some titles that they didn't fully appreciate and understand when they were issuing those titles. The Rabbi, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God. Later on, as Jesus says, you will understand even greater what you just said with your mouth. And I can tell you this to be true. I remember when I was just but a 19-year-old university student. And I was walking the streets of the University of Toronto. And then I was exposed to this Christ and this idea of following Jesus, of actually imitating him was a newfound concept in my mind. Believing him, yes, but actually imitating and denying myself and taking up my cross and that Jesus was the most important relationship in my life. What? No. I was that on Sunday. But on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I was somebody else. And whatever I did, I just asked for forgiveness. And then I went back again in that cycle on Sunday. And then I met this Jesus. And then I've seen this Jesus so much so that I absolutely reordered the priorities, everything in my life. And I was a student at the University of Toronto. That's the way I had identified myself. Now, when I became a Christian, when I became a follower of Christ, I saw myself now as a follower of Christ who happens to be a student at the University of Toronto. And that my purpose for being there was that different. It was not to get an education primarily, but to issue the invitation to people to come and see who this Jesus is. I felt the burden a little bit to be an example. Now, that didn't alleviate my responsibility from being a good student. I strive to be a good student, but it reprioritized, it reordered what was in my life. And that's what happens with every encounter when you meet and you see Jesus. Have you only met him? Do you only know about him? Have you experienced this Christ? The invitation was issued to come and see, but not only to these men. John wanted to issue that invitation at the beginning of his letter, at the beginning of his treatise, at the beginning of his recollection with the Son of God. And he bids us to come and to see. And that's why he makes a bold proclamation. He says, when you understand and you see these things, you will believe and know that Jesus is the Christ. And when you believe and know that Jesus is the Christ, the profession and the profundity of your changed life will be evident to all. This morning, I love that Jesus sees in us what we oftentimes don't see in ourselves. And he transformed Nathanael's life so much so that he became one of the people that ultimately became an apostle. who changed all of human history. From an ordinary, who can come, what good can come from Nazareth, to that transformation, because he threw some honey and he revealed himself. Nathanael embraced the invitation and Jesus did his part and brought about revelation where he saw the Christ. Come and see. Would you come and see? Come to the Christ and see who he is. We want to encourage you. If you want to be a part of this faith community, if you want to be know more about Jesus, please reach out to us. We want, like Jesus did with one and one, as Andrew did with Philip, as Philip did with Nathaniel. Andrew did with Peter, rather, and Philip did with Nathaniel. We want to sit with you and issue this invitation and lead you to the one who's called the King of Israel, the one who's called the Messiah, the one who is called the Lamb of God. Come and see. This invitation is not only for these men, but it's for us as well. May God bless us. And I really want to encourage you. I'm not just saying that. We really want to reach out to you. And if the way we will know it's if you are searching, believe me, Christ is also looking for you. And we believe that we are some of his ambassadors. We're some of his representatives to share about who he is. Not how great we are, but how great he is. May God bless us as we go about our week, accepting the invitation and bring about illumination and revelation to the fulfillment of the promise that we will see him. Thank you so much. God bless you. See you here next week as we celebrate Mother's Day. Looking forward to an exciting service to see how God loves and blesses us with great mothers. Bye.